Nicely talk.
Broadcasting from the world famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on January 21st, 2007.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, we'll be joined by Dennis Spaulding to discuss his spiritual journey into the afterlife in search of his son. Next up, an ITC discussion with Bro Perkins and John Topp. Finally, we'll be talking to our friends from, this is a brand new thing, the League of Paranormal Gentlemen. Absolutely.
That's I agree. What we're doing. Why not?
Why not?
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
No, you don't. We don't think here.
Nope, just plug in your iPad and listen.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
Bonnie, I think, well,
she's slipping and sliding all over Southeast Michigan.
Yeah, she called me about 20 after 5 p.m. here, Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Jella. she called me about 20 after 5 Eastern time. It was like, okay, I'm on the road right now, but I'm like sliding everywhere. So I'm going to try to make it, but I don't know if I can make it.
It's definitely a winter wonderland out there tonight.
Well, just to illustrate a little bit, we got back to the house here about 3 p.m. from where we had a brunch. I guess, is that...
A late lunch.
Well, no, brunch is between breakfast and lunch, so we ate at like 1 p.m., so that's after lunch, technically.
A London.
What?
A London.
A London.
Instead of a breakfast and lunch, we had a lunch dinner.
Okay, yeah. All right, so we had like a lunch London. Dinner. with Charlotte and Rob from Grimstone.
Yep.
Good friends of ours. But we left there, it started to come down pretty intense-like. We were like, oh, wow.
And, I drove between 25 and 35 the entire way home.
Really?
Yep.
We were cruising.
No, 14 mile was completely ice and snow.
Well, just to illustrate a little bit, like, my car sat outside for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
We got back about 3, a little bit after 3 o'clock, and just before you got here, I moved my car, right? And the windshields were nothing but pure ice. I mean, it was like, it had to have been it's like that thick at least. Like, well, I can't do that.
Yeah, on the radio.
Well, like a 16th of an inch thick. It was like just solid ice. And that's just a couple of hours. Like, I couldn't even see out of the window. And I was like just praying I wouldn't bump into something while I moved my car around. So yeah, it's pretty nasty here right now, apparently. I guess that's, so Bonnie isn't going to make it.
Right. I have auto start on my car, so I just started off.
Oh, you got to push that, don't you? You have to push that.
I dig it.
I love seeing you when we're like leaving somewhere, and you always like you're waving the sword of Excalibur. You take your auto start remote thing and just go, kook in the car. Yeah, it warms up, and then it's toasty warm when you get in there. Interesting week this week we have set up.
Not ghost hunting weather the entire week. It's been freezing.
It's been cold, yeah.
It's been very, very cold. So it might be indoor ghost hunting weather, but outdoor ghost hunting definitely nixed. Probably for the remainder of the season, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's...
At least here in Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, who knows with the weather here, though? I mean, it's like, I don't even know. I mean, there's no telling what happens around here. You just deal with it from day to day. I don't even plan ahead. I don't use the weather. We used to use the weather to make our plans and stuff. But why? There's no point because everything changes every day around here. Well, what's the point?
The good news is spring is around the corner. It's, end of January-ish. I mean, there's, 9 days or so, 9-10 days left of January.
Mm-hmm.
So then we've got the short month, February.
Yeah.
February is the short month.
Uh-huh.
And then March. And March, of course, heralds the beginning of spring.
Well, hopefully this blows over quick, because I'm tired of it already.
Perfect, perfect, perfect for weird winter coming up.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to be talking to Troy about that, too, at the end of the month here.
Right. I was wondering if we were going to get a winter here in southeast Michigan. I know the rest of the country, a lot of the rest of the country, who's probably not pretty used to it, is blanketed under snow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They said Oklahoma was shut down for several days. Denver, Colorado, is just... it's just one huge snowdrift, and I feel for those folks because we used to get that here. That used to be our weather.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's Michigan weather.
Mm.
Not this year. So I was thinking, wonder what's going to happen up here because next month is weird winter with Troy Taylor.
Yeah,
his weird winter, the old dead of winter.
Yeah.
Conference, Weird Winter's coming up next month. Oh, I'm glad you called it up. February 16th through 18th. And
yeah.
I was thinking, is it going to be one of those very, very, very mild winters where we're going to have, flowers and sun for Weird Winter? Evidently, the timing is perfect because we did get... we get smashed with winter this past week.
Yeah, it's icy, though. It's been really icy. It hasn't been a lot of snow. It's just been ice, which is like 10 times as worse.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's horrendous out there as far as that. That's what it is right now. It's all ice. That's basically why Bonnie isn't here.
Right.
Speaking of these conferences, you mentioned Weird Winter, Doug.
That's the first one of my year.
Of our, yeah. Of,
yeah.
Yeah, and, it's a mess because... there's so many things going on this year. There's just so much stuff going on this year. And we, as Ghostly Talk, we want to be everywhere at the same, at every place at the same time, right? And sometimes, we have that within our powers to do that. So, that weekend, you're talking about Weird Winter, right?
It is within our power to be everywhere at once.
Well, that weekend it is because...
Well, that's the cool thing about having a dual-hosted show.
Mm-hmm. Is, we can go out and we can split up if we have to.
We can cover two things at the same time.
Yeah, and that weekend there is the Weird Winter, the dead of winter, like you were mentioning, Doug.
Right, and you guys, February 16th through 18th, Weird Winter, the old dead of winter, it's at the main events are at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking, of course, the, Troy Taylor. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking a lot of the, or several of the regional weird authors.
Yeah.
The folks, the lady, I think, who wrote Weird Wisconsin and Weird Michigan.
Yeah, we were talking about that at lunch today, as a matter of fact. What was her name again? What was that?
Linda Godfrey. Thank you.
Thanks.
I think she's scheduled to be there. I know that, and that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. I really want to meet her and have a chat with her because it's really up my alley. I just dig it. Also, I'll be there. I will be
Yay.
At Weird Winter. You
Yay.
Sound thrilled.
Well, I'm not going to be, so I'm kind of bummed about that.
Okay.
But I'm going to be somewhere else that same weekend.
You are. You're going the other direction. I'm going to Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah, you're
going to
be heading to the West Coast. Well, toward the West.
I'm not going to
the West.
Southwest.
I'm going to be going
to
Southwest, and I'm going to be going Southeast. Which I'm going to be going to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for the Eastern State Penitentiary investigation with Dr. Ron Million and Brian Harnoy. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too. We're going to be going pretty much spending two nights investigating the Eastern State Penitentiary. And that's going to be a busy weekend, let's just say that.
So how are people, folks, anybody who's listening on your podcasts, on your, through the airwaves or live on the internet?
Yeah.
How are you going to decide? First of all, you could decide to do nothing. and just not go.
Yeah, you could just do that. But
what's that? Why? I mean, this is the middle of February. What else is there to do? Mm-hmm. It's the first huge two events of what promises to be an exciting 2007.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why anyone would miss it. I know I'm really, really, really geeked. So, but let's say you decide, okay, I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go do one of these. How do you decide which one?
I guess it just depends on what you want. I mean, if you want to go and network, obviously, and go and talk to some really interesting people, I would say go to the Weird Witter event with Troy Taylor. But if you actually want to do some hands-on work with some experienced ghost hunters, you'd probably want to go to the Eastern State Penitentiary. And I'm talking about the same weekend, you know, if you have to split them up, obviously.
Right.
But if you want to do some real ghost hunting and do some work, you can go to the Eastern State Penitentiary. So, I mean, it's...
Well, I mean,
it's a tough call for us. Imagine, yeah, it's tough for you people. We as the show hosts are like, okay, who's going to go where?
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is both of these things intrigue me equally, right? Mm. They're both equally as intriguing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, given that I'm not overly unique, how can somebody decide between Weird Winter and Eastern State Penitentiary?
Is this a question for me?
No, it's a rhetorical question because I don't know if there's an answer. I just don't know how you can choose between them. I think they're phenomenal.
They're both going to be both great events.
They're both phenomenal, top-notch events.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I want to see everybody there at Weird Winter in Decatur. I mean, half the people there at Weird Winter in Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah.
And the other half of people in Philadelphia at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Whatever's closest to you, I guess.
You know, that's fair.
Closest to you. Luckily, we're both kind of swell. It's going to be a longer drive to Philadelphia than it is going to be to Decatur, I think.
Right.
I think we're going to do about 7 or 8 hours that day to get there. I think yours is going to be about 5 or 6, something like that around there.
It's in 7. It's
oh,
in 7 hours?
Oh, we might be right around the same
about
drive.
The same.
So, yeah, whatever's closest to you, I'd say, you know, if you want to save on gas. And these are weekenders, too. You know,
right.
You don't want to, you know, blow too much vacation time from work like we are.
We're
all our vacation time.
Everybody in Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Western Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Hit up Weird Winter with Mark of Mark and Mark, and, of course, Troy Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And me, and Linda.
What was her name? Linda Godfrey.
Linda Godfrey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to meet her. And yeah. and a whole host of folks.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know,
on the east side of Michigan, like we are.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is your destination.
Yeah, that might be good.
February 16th through 18th. What a weekend!
Yeah,
it's going to be
really busy.
A phenomenal weekend. No matter which event you go to.
Yeah, we're going to be really busy that weekend. Obviously, I think what we'll do.
I am a very big proponent of actually going to these things.
Oh, too. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be broadcasting that weekend.
How many years? We will not be.
No, probably not.
How many years did we go? Did we go to just the one event? We went to just Mothman?
Yeah, Mothman Festival.
And then, of course, we happened into a conference
mm-hmm.
somehow. And wow. Changed my ghost hunting career, changed my life.
Oh, yeah.
I love
yeah.
the conferences.
Yeah, it's great to get out and, you know, finally meet people and stuff like that.
Right, you get to meet people, you get to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
Dine with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, laugh at them in the hallway. Whatever, it's,
yeah,
it's
whatever
fun.
You do, you
it's
meet
fun.
A lot of people. Also, too, just to throw these out.
We don't do that. Laugh at people.
Laugh with people, not
we
laugh
at. With people.
Yeah,
we do.
I
we
thought
do
you
indeed.
Said laugh with people. I mean,
well, that's what I meant.
No, I'm not even laughing at anybody. Unless they, well, whatever, we'll talk about that.
I'd have to laugh at a mirror first. I'd be like, look at that goof.
Weekend of March 9th through March 11th is going to be the first annual Arkansas Ghost Hunters Conference, too. That's going to be a really...
That's a very special event.
That's going to be a very special event. I mean, you know, we're really excited about February, but come March, this weekend, March 9th through March 11th, it's going to be, first of all, it's going to be the 5-year anniversary for Ghostly Talk. It's going to be our 5th year. broadcasting right. the show, which we're just totally blown away. And it's also going to be your 80th birthday, Doug? Is that what it is?
It's approximately my 80th birthday.
Yeah. Actually, you're going to be turning 40 that weekend. So it's
right.
Yeah, two birthdays.
Well, not that not that particular weekend, but yeah. That's the weekend that I chose to celebrate.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate it. So we're going to be celebrating two birthdays. A celebration of Doug and then our baby here, Ghostly Talk. So, and we need to thank, Lori and everybody over there who's been helping us out, putting this thing together, you know, how we're, I guess they're going to be helping us out. We were going to have, our original plan, from what I understand, was going to be just to, we were just going to take our hotel rooms and just turn them into a party.
Right.
We come up to the hotel room and just have fun and hang out. But apparently, from what I understand, Lori is actually setting up some time in the halls.
Wow.
To put aside for us to, you know, do a little celebrating with her Ghostly Talk. So we need to thank those guys. Everybody who's in charge, Lori, who's working on the first annual Arkansas Ghost Hunters Conference, thank you very much for that. We really appreciate it.
Not easy to get to. If you have to fly in, you have to fly into Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think is the closest major airport.
Yeah.
There is a Northwest Regional Airport, Northwest Regional Arkansas, or Northwest Arkansas Regional, whatever, airport.
Are we going to fly?
And taco stand.
Do we need to fly?
It's a long, long, long drive, but I'm thinking of driving.
So that means we might need to actually fly then.
It's a long, long, long drive.
So we were talking about just like piling a bus full of people, but it's not that we might have to fly now. So we might have to book even more plane tickets next week.
I don't know. I was thinking of hopping in the car, driving down to Indy, picking up a busload of folks, anybody who can get to Indy, picking up anyone there, and then continuing on for yet another 6 or 7 hours.
I'm thinking about flying, man. Honestly, I'm thinking about flying out there. We'll have to see. We gotta get these things planned, actually. It's coming up on us. Same month, March.
Mm-hmm.
March. In case you can't tell, we're talking about conferences.
Why did this become the conference show?
Well, we've been meaning to get these things out and talk about these things a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really good stuff going on. The Waverly Hills Sanitarium investigation. The same month, March, but it's gonna be the weekend of March 23rd through March 25th. That's gonna be with Dr. Ron and Brian also, which is gonna be at Waverly Hills, obviously in Louisville, Kentucky, which is a place that now Doug and I have yet to go. I know I'm really excited to finally go there and hang out, and there's gonna be a lot of great people there for that. That investigation that weekend, Supernatural Summit. 2007, Batavia, New York.
That's in April.
Yeah, April. So that's going to be great, too. Our buddy, our dear friend, Chris Bailey from Grimstone is going to be there also speaking.
Yeah.
So we actually asked him for permission to go. Please, can we go? And he said, no problem at all, guys. I'll let you guys have safe passage to this conference. So we're going to be there hanging out with Chris Bailey, actually, for the Supernatural Summit in 2007. So,
did you read the press release?
No, I didn't. Where's it at? Is it on the web somewhere?
I wonder if Elmer put Control T and go to the Ghostly Talk homepage and see if Elmer put a link to it. Because we are mentioned. I thought that was really cool.
We're mentioned?
Yeah, in the press release.
Why don't we just go back here?
Okay.
We have the technology.
See if it's in there yet. UFO Supernatural Summit.
Let's see here. Supernatural Summit Ghost Hunters Conference Second Fair is proud to have Ghostly Talk Paranormal Radio as the official media sponsor of the 2007 conference. Doug and Scott will be on site all weekend providing the international community a taste of supernatural happenings. What happenings? What do we know?
Well, we can provide them.
We can with what?
Well, we just go to the table, get a taste, bring it back, and say, here, want a taste of supernatural happenings.
Is this Epcot?
It's just like that. I can't wait.
No, that's
so
cool. That's actually cool. I mean, all right. Okay, sure. We'll do that.
The Holiday Inn in Batavia, New York, I'm going to hopefully get some more points or whatever on my Holiday Inn card. and then I'll be able to, get like free nights at Holiday Inns throughout the world, including, I hope, Gettysburg. I would love to go back to the Holiday Inn in Gettysburg.
Yeah. So that's, the Supernatural Summit that's going to be going on. Again, that's going to be the weekend of, let me see here.
April something.
April 13th through April 15th.
Yep.
going to be a lot of fun. Actually, let me go to that site there real quick. I think I have it. You know, if you want information on all this stuff, too, by the way, we have a new page up on the Ghostly Talk site. It's if you go to the top bar there, you'll see something called Appearances. Just click on that word Appearances. It'll take you to our little page we have set up for this. And it's got all the information on all these events that we're going to be at or you can go to and stuff like that and hang out with us or all the cool people that are going to be there. I am actually at Supernatural Summit site. Where's that? I want to see the speakers page. All these cool people. Where's Chris at? Where's Chris at again?
He's right there.
He looks so distinguished, too.
He does.
My name is Chris Bailey. I'm from Grimstone. I can just hear that coming out. He just looks so...
Wow, this is amazing. Look at this list.
Vince is going to be there, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Vince Wilson's going
to
be there.
Richard Kimmel, we've talked to him. Vince Wilson, we've talked to him.
Robin Van Pelt's going to be there.
Robin Van Pelt works with
Vince pretty intensely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a bunch of really cool people are going to be there. Karen Reese is going to be there. I've corresponded with Karen before via email. But it's going to be a lot of fun there, too. It's a little while off, but I suggest you reserve your place if you want to get into this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, all right, enough talk about conferences. People are going to think this is one big advertisement or something like that.
We're just very, very, very excited.
Yeah, we are. And nobody's
we're
really
excited about each and every one of these.
Yeah.
I mean, they each have their own unique flavor, their own unique flair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a fantastic weekend when you go to something like this.
Yeah. Well, nobody's really put us up to this. Like when
I know, they didn't call us up and say, hey,
you need to mention our conference.
Because the only thing that we actually do is sometime before their conference, you know, we will have them on for a short talk about it and things like that.
Yeah, we promote it on the website. So
and we put it on the website.
That's
about it. And that's only because we're excited about
it. Yeah, yeah, you know.
They don't say, we must get this and that and that, you know.
No, there's no riders or anything like that with this stuff.
Right.
I don't see the point of that, really. I mean... It's just, these are really cool events, and it's really great to, you know, if you've ever been to one of these events, you'll know how cool they are, and to get around, to, you know, to be around all the people with the same interest in, you know, ideas that you have, or they have different ideas, but it's in the same arena, so.
Right.
You know,
Tim looks happy.
Tim, which one's Tim?
Tim the happy one.
I've never met Tim.
Well,
he looks like a lot of fun.
He does.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
We have to hang with him.
Yeah, we'll have to find
him. He doesn't know it yet, but we're going to
He looks like
find
a pretty
him.
Unique individual. I think we'll be able to find him.
Right? I think so.
Well, of all the speakers, and I don't mean this as a bad thing, but he's the only bald one. Or the
shape there
so
you
I
go.
I think we'll be able to pick him.
Oh, no, no, because Richard Kimmel. Well,
yeah, but he's got a little bit of hair.
He's
got that thing just, like, you know, buffed and shined and ready to go. So, no, Tim will be the one. We'll point him out. So we'll have to, now we're going to get an angry, what do you call me bald for?
Well, you are, but but also you look like the funnest guy on the planet.
Yeah,
so
we're going to
meet
you
there.
We're going to meet Tim there. So yeah, definitely a lot of cool stuff going on. We'll talk more about the conferences, but that's like the immediate future, like stuff with the conferences. You know, next few months.
Are we broadcasting on these weekends that we go away?
What's the deal?
Did we talk about this? Did we have the meeting?
Well, it wasn't
the meeting. I was on Nodos, was it?
Well, generally, when we go to these conferences, one of the things we do is, if you haven't noticed in the past, is we tape a lot of the speakers, right? We get their permission to tape them. You know, we have our table set up, like, right next to the podium a lot of times.
Am I going to tape at Weird Winter?
We're going to have to figure that out.
But I have a mobile studio.
Well, yeah, most likely that'll probably be the case. We'll figure out what Troy wants to do, though.
Okay.
But generally what we do, like we were talking about there, is we tape a lot of the speakers, right? And with their permission, and we double verify with them to put it up on the website. Like, hey, do you mind if we put it up on the site for people to download freely? We've never had a problem one time with that.
Right. One of the things that I want to do is because we went to several conferences last year and we did tape them,
yeah.
I want to drag out those old files. About maybe a month, month and a half-ish, probably a month and a half to 2 months before each.
Well, yeah, the
repeat, like repeat, so for CPRI and the one that will become Ghost World.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Eastern Regional one. So I'm going to drag out those files and highlight them.
Yeah,
on the website.
They're up on the site already. We're just pushing forward.
But I just want to make sure that folks can listen to them and get a feeling how these things go,
well, yeah.
What to expect, how, you know, what kinds of interesting topics are brought up, a feeling for the people who will be speaking, because it could be a similar or different cast of speakers at each event.
Yeah.
So, but you'll get a feeling for at least the conference part. You don't get a feeling for the other part, the people, the booths, milling about, the laughing, the wondering, you know, where's this, where's that, how is this happening, when does this happen? You know, there's a whole part that you don't get a feeling for from the speeches.
Yeah.
But from those presentations, you will get the serious, the informational.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully get excited about these kinds of things. So I'm going to drag out those old files that we did. I'm not going to let them lay there on the website just in languish.
Well,
I'm going to drag them out.
I don't think we're doing that in any way.
Well, I don't think so either. But I think that I'm going to highlight them on the website somehow and let folks know, because it is exciting to me to be able to present that kind of material, and also and I think that it will be exciting for folks to listen to and get ready for.
Well, yeah, but in light of
conference
of us not, you know, broadcasting on the weekends, that was the idea.
We
do always, you know, if we don't do some broadcasting or recording at the conference, we tape the speakers. So there's all kinds of stuff that we bring back with us that we've always tried to, you know, hey.
I know souvenirs for everybody.
I know there's just some people that get angry when we don't broadcast, which just blows me away. They're like, dude, where were you guys at?
I listened, and you weren't there.
Or I didn't get my morning download on Monday to listen to you guys. And what's
so
going
I
on
cried there? For half an hour. My boss laid me off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It happens.
We try to bring something back with us, though, for everybody to listen to, whether it's the speakers from the conference we were at, or, you know, sometimes we sit down with some of the people that are at the conference, just hang out. You know, we've done that a few times with people, speakers, and whatnot that are there. So we always try to bring something back for somebody to download. It may not always be a 3-hour show with all the, you know, music and all the glitz and glamour like we always put into it, but it's something for people to listen to. So we try to do whatever we can. I mean, yeah, and there's going to be a lot of that going on this year, too, and I am aware of that. I've looked at our schedule and said, man, we're going to be like off the clock a lot of times this year. But, you know, it's part of what we're doing, though, and it's part of what this show is evolving into, I think, too, is that it's not just a couple of guys that are always just sitting here talking about the stuff. We're actually out there meeting up with people and talking with them, too.
The thing is, we could do portable shows.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is this time slot, Sunday night between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
That would be...
That's when we're traveling back home.
Yeah, that would be traveling time.
Yeah, I mean, this is... It's right in a really bad spot, actually.
So it's a... Yeah, it's
when we're trying to get back.
We would have to, like, pre-record and not know the entire end of the conference.
Plus, I'd spend a good chunk of my time when I should be enjoying myself at the conference, or you would be, too, editing the audio, trying to get that thing up and
putting,
you know,
it together and getting it.
Like,
yeah.
You know, okay, look, I got to enjoy myself a little bit here. So, I mean,
I wonder if there's a way we could do something, though.
We could
an abbreviated show on those weekends.
We could figure something out. I mean,
okay.
It's a matter of just sitting down. I mean, there are some ideas. Like I said, it's just a matter of brainstorming and figuring it out. But, you know, in the meantime, though, I know for sure we will be having a lot of downloads with the speakers and stuff like that for people to check out. We'll have up in our archive section, free, per usual. But, you know, we might do some broadcasting, too. You never know. It's just a matter of we don't answer to anybody, so we just kind of do. We kind of play it by ear nowadays and see what happens. So hopefully we're going to be seeing a lot of people out there, though.
That's what I want.
We're going to be seeing a lot of people listen to the show, a lot of you guys out there to listen to what we're doing here. Please come up and say hi. We really want to meet everybody. You know, if you've heard the show, or come up and introduce yourself. Say hello. We'd love to talk to you. If you have any ideas, you know, we get a lot of emails that I'd love to hear somebody walk up to me and go, you know what, I think you can do this better. I mean, I would just be like, wow, that's pretty cool, dude. I mean, you actually, like, walked up to me and said it. That's really awesome. So.
Oh, people don't do that.
I'd love to see it,
though. They like to hide behind their computer screens.
Well, no, I don't mean, like, mean, like, you guys suck. You know, it's like, you know.
Well, they do
but only
behind their computer screens.
Yeah, even if somebody did that, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. That's your opinion, you know. Now get away from me before I pop you in the jaw.
Hey, we've done a lot of changes because of recommendations.
Absolutely.
The complete revamp of the intro.
Oh, yeah. Big, a complete suggestion by a listener.
Right.
Said it's way too long. It's way too long.
And I'd heard that a couple times, but
yeah.
Finally it sunk in. And I'm like, you know.
Let's try something new.
Let's do something new. And then we happen to have someone help us, and And then, of course, Scott K got on the job, and pff, it just went super smooth after that.
Yeah, Scott, you know, that we didn't talk too much about that, but the new music is was written by Scott. Again,
all
he did
Scott
the original
K.
theme, the you know, our original official theme, and he's done the new official theme, too, for us. So
and then,
Scott.
Yeah, but then the blammo part,
that's a technical term. That's our technical term.
Our technical term is blammo.
That's Chris Wilkins, who does a lot of the intro, outro sweeps for... when we come back in and come back out. So you can learn a little bit about radio there, too. So, yeah, thanks to those guys, too. But, yeah, that's what's going on here. That's what we got planned in the next couple months here. I've been wanting to talk about that for a while.
So yeah.
I discussed the conference.
I'm glad we did. We had no plans to do it, but I'm glad we did. Coming up, Dennis Spaulding. After that, Brown Perkins and John Topp.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the League of Paranormal Gentlemen. So let's get this program going and get Dennis on the line. We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hawes from Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters and the founder of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, this is Renee.
And I'm Devin.
And we're from Midnight Eclipse. Go check out our website at
www.midnighteclipse.net.pc.
Ask us a question, become a boardie,
and check out our awesome giveaways.
midnighteclipse.net.pc.
We'll see you sooner than you think.
You claim that's not your fault, but you don't see. around us. Phenomenon that we can't explain. Voices that reach out from the darkness. Events you have to experience to believe. Learn more about the world of the paranormal at the Supernatural Summit, April 13th through the 15th in Batavia, New York. Over 30 workshops from paranormal experts, a trade show, and psychic fair, plus much more. For more information, go to SupernaturalSummit.com or call 585-399-7765. SupernaturalSummit.com.
Just tell us who he is.
The Angel of Death.
The book, My Search for the Afterlife, A Trail of Clues, is a result of the devastating effect when a parent loses a child. Unless you're a parent who has suffered from a similar loss, one can't imagine the emotions a family goes through in dealing with this grief. After a few years, Dennis Spaulding became determined to find his son in the afterlife. He kept a log throughout his journey, what he found during his search, and continues to find on a regular basis. Has turned his life around and allowed him to find what he perceives as the purpose in life. The website is www.sean39s-corner.com. That's S-E-A-N-39-S-corner.com, which is, of course, linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Welcome, Dennis Spaulding, to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, Dennis. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Real
glad
good.
To be here.
Real good. I actually had to step up for a minute, but I know I came back and you and Doug were in the thick of it. You guys were talking about, and I didn't know. I want you guys just to kind of go where you started from. I mean, I don't know what I
well, actually, that's the last thing of the thing that we were talking about. What I wanted to find out was about the book and around the book. My search for the afterlife, A Trail of Clues. You know, we're searching for the afterlife as well. For different
Definitely.
Reasons. So I want to find out about your reasons. What was it before? What were your views before? And then how have they changed? So basically, we got a very busy half hour. Dennis, why the book? Why the search? What happened?
Well, I did lose my son, like everybody knows, March 14th, 1993. He was in a single car accident in Miami, Florida. He was a graduate of the University of Alabama. They hired him in his senior year. He went through a 19-month training program with his company in Miami, Florida, Motions Industry. Mm. About 1 month after he was released out of the training program, he was in a car accident. Took his life. He was on the freeway. He slammed right into the concrete pillar of an overpass bridge, killed him instantly.
Oh, my God.
And like you said at the beginning, unless you've lost a child, you don't know the feeling, the emotions. And my ex-wife now, at the time, Sean's mother, we had been divorced during that time, and as the book starts out, the way the phone call happened when I answered it, you know, she's from Trinidad, West Indies, so she's got a distinct accent. Mm. And it was like, Dennis? And I said, yeah, Pat, what's going on? She says, I just called to tell you Sean's dead. No warning, no nothing. And I had just talked with my son 3 days earlier on the Friday, you know, after he'd been through a hurricane and a windstorm. So you talk about the emotion, like the earth swallowing you up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I dropped out of contact with anybody for about 4 years, even my own kids. I didn't want to talk about that.
Mm.
And all through my life, as I grew up as a little kid, I always thought there was another world going on around us. Either spinning too fast, spinning too slow, something, but you can't see it, but there is something going on. I went through all the basic religions. I grew up in the Methodist Church. I was married in a Lutheran church, married in a Catholic church. I've been to several non-denominational churches. I've been to Baptist churches. So I've been through the gamut, and they never really answered my question. You know, I never really got an answer to that. And after my four-year shutdown, when I finally felt it was time to face the ghosts of the past, in other words, finding my son, in what I perceive to be the afterlife. You know, that's when I started making my best friends the library and the bookstores. I started reading every spiritual book I could. You know, just gathering more information for myself. And actually, without realizing it, I was developing my own psychic and spiritual awareness on the inside. Now, I tell people I'm not a medium. I'm not a psychic. I am a bereaved father that lost a son. Now, our form of communication that I developed is intuitive with my son. It's just a very strong feeling I sense when he's around or when there's a message either from him or now other family members or friends. I get this very strong intuitive connection to do something, whether it's make a phone call, whether it's pull up something on the computer, or something is telling me something is happening at the time. You know, the goosebumps of this, where I just know something is happening. And because of this build-up psychic and spiritual awareness that I've developed, I recognize a lot of different things. It started out with numbers, basically, and I'll tell the people how that came about. But it's a number theory that I developed that was based on when my son was born, 9/24/68, and when he died, March 14th, 1993, and a couple special numbers, like the number 29, the last time we were together at his sister's birthday party in Reno, we played roulette together, and we always played 29. Plus 39 is also another big number, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Now, how this developed, I started out with Sylvia Brown when I came out of my shell, and I wanted to do some research. I saw her on the Montel Williams show for my first time. And I developed a rapport, so to speak, over the television with this lady. Mm. And I started reading, like I said, all the spiritual books I could, but I also started reading all of her special books.
Mm-hmm.
And her books had meditation techniques and various suggestions like that to help you develop this. So I started following, you know, that stuff faithfully, meditation, and everything that has helped me out and got me to this point in time where I can recognize what I call spiritual crossroads that are put before me in my life. Basic things that start my, you know, my journey or continue my journey. When I was in the military, 1964 to 68, I had orders to Vietnam three times. And each time it was canceled for some reason. Why to this day? I don't know. But actually now I'm assuming it's because of this journey that I'm on to help people deal with the grief that they have after losing a child, a family member, or a friend. And that's why we'll probably talk about this a little bit later.
Okay.
I started this tour. It's called the North American Tour 2007.
Mm-hmm.
In Heaven Talk, you know, moving beyond grief. I brought together four psychic and spiritual healers, plus two special guests, which are families that have lost a loved one in their life. And we plan to travel across America, one city per month, also Canada, and bring this to the people. It's a 9-hour seminar on a Saturday from 9 to 6. And it's not basically to give readings to people like most mediums do when they travel across country. They tell about their life, they give some readings. This is actually healing to help the people find a way to take that next step forward in the grief process.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are phenomenal that I brought together. And you gave my website is Sean39scorner.com. That's one way of getting there. But the easiest way is go by the title of the book, My Search for the Afterlife.com.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's even easier.
Right.
Yeah.
It's much easier, My Search for the Afterlife.com. I've got a page up there about the tour and a lot of other information that you'll find very interesting. I talk about the number theory on there. It gives you kind of a breakdown of how I do it and basic things. Well, how this came about now, I gave you what it's based on, his birth date and when he died.
Mm.
I found out Suzanne Northrup, who is a gifted medium that travels across the country. She was coming to Seattle one time. This is going to be the very first seminar I ever attended. We started watching John Edward on television. Somebody mentioned him during my studies with Sylvia Brown and one day Channel Surf, and I came across his show on TV, and it changed my direction. It was like where I talk about, I think it's chapter 3 in the book, I say, goodbye, Sylvia, hello, John. That was my crossroad for those two people. Not to say Sylvia is bad, but they're both gifted in a different way. And I felt that John is going to be the one that can offer me the direction or in finding my son. Mm-hmm. Well, through John and his books and his show and various things like that, I found Suzanne Northrup. And she was coming to town in, I think it's 2002 in June. And she was coming on a Monday. Now, this takes place about a week before. I'm getting the sense that I'm supposed to go to the computer to her website. You know, I've already ordered my tickets months ago. Once I was drawn to her website and saw she was coming to town, I ordered my tickets 3 or 4 months in advance. I mean, that's how anxious I was. Well, I pull up her website, and lo and behold, she's coming to town to Seattle 1 week early to do some radio and television programs, uh-huh. which I didn't know. I said, oh, man. And I was now, you know, a couple of days away from these. So I got the idea I was going to throw in some tapes on these mm-hmm. so my wife and I could watch and listen to see how this lady works, her mannerisms, her voice, inflections and stuff like that. So we'll be ready for that seminar on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on this one radio program, I'm an air traffic controller, and I was sitting at work. Luckily, it was a little bit before opening. And the disc jockey goes, well, Suzanne's going to be on in about 10 minutes. Anybody has lost a loved one, here's a number to call. Well, my fingers are already dialing the number before my brain catches up and realizes what's going on. You know, this guy said, hello. I said, yeah. I said, I'm just calling in like the disc jockey one. He said, you've lost a loved one? I said, yeah. I said, you want to know the name? He said, no, just stay on the phone until Suzanne calls your name. So I was on hold for 25 minutes. And I could hear the program. I could hear her talking.
Uh-huh.
And then pretty soon the disc jockey goes, and now we have Dennis on the phone. And Suzanne goes, hi, Dennis, who do you want to talk to? And I said, my son. Well, at that time, when she said that, I wrote down, if you got a pencil and paper, this helps to do this. I wrote down the time. It was 8:36 in the morning. 8:36 is what I wrote. Then I put a forward slash, and I wrote 24-9, which is another way of saying it, 24 minutes to 9. So I had that written down on a sheet of paper. I went about with a radio reading, and it was phenomenal. I mean, it was only a short time, 3, 4, 5 minutes, because you want to get other guests on. But
yeah.
She hit stuff that really, I mean, my skin was crawling where I had to leave work. But she also had some misses. But I come to realize on some of these misses, like when she first started out, seeing a fishing pole, which in my mind I'm going, no, we never fished. She mm-hmm. said, you guys must have done a lot of fishing together because he's showing me a fishing pole and yada, yada, yada. The only thing him and I did with a pole was ski. And I broke his leg the first time. So I'm sure he remembered that. But what I found out in my research was when a spirit comes through, the medium doesn't know the history of what happened. In other words, I was divorced from his mom. His mom was remarried again, just like I was remarried again. I had a son, his brother, or stepbrother. His mom had a son, his other stepbrother.
Uh-huh.
And so she didn't know. She knows here's a spirit coming through to talk with his father, not knowing he has two fathers. Well, my research later on down the line, I found out they were the fishermen. They used to do all this fishing together, ice fishing and stuff like that. So that was a big light bulb that came on in my research, knowing various things when they come through that a message can not only be for myself and my family, but others as well and, you know, on the other side of the family thing. After we hung up, you know, I went home, played it for my wife and everything. We went to a lot of stuff happened until the seminar. That's talked about in the book. We go to the seminar the following Monday, and I realize what a seminar can do for you, how it can bring the spirit world right close to you. Nothing happened to me, but I was so involved in what was happening to other people. You know, it was just amazing. It was my very first one. My wife was a little disappointed when we walked out because we didn't receive a reading or anything. I mean, I felt strongly we would, but we didn't.
Uh-huh.
And I said, listen, we had the radio reading a couple of days ago. We're lucky for that, whereas a lot of people never got that.
Yeah.
Well, the very next day, I'm sitting back, and I'm replaying that radio reading. And I start listening to it because usually you play stuff a second time, you miss it. And as I'm reading it, listening to it, I glanced down at my notes, and my eyes caught the times that I wrote down, 8:36 and 24-9. And then I looked at it right to left. I went 9:24:68. That's when he was born. I looked at the 3 and the 9. 3 represented March in my mind, when he died. 93 represented in my mind the year he died. The 39 in my mind represented his name in the 26 letter alphabet, S-E-A-N. It totals 39. The only thing I was missing was the biggest number in my theory, 14, the day he died. And I found that out through a little small formula my brother created, who came to visit a month later from Chicago. And he made a little formula that's talked about in the book. But that was the initial start of the number theory I talk about. And I try to let people know that this number theory, the number way, is just one of the ways the spirits can communicate with you. This is basically for myself. I'm only sharing it. If some people don't totally understand it, or they think that it's too, you know, widespread or stuff like that, the way I talk about it in the book, they have to realize this is something we share together, my son and I. I have found a way to communicate with him that started. It was basically with the numbers. It's gone other ways now with animals, like the butterfly story I talk about, clocks, license plates, different things like that. But the initial number theory is still there.
Mm.
But this is just the way my son and I strongly communicate right now. And I've found other families that communicate with numbers also. I talk about one in the book. You know, and they're part of the upcoming seminar we're going to have, because they kind of validate, in a way, you know, my connection with my son through numbers, and they have a connection. And I met her at a John Edwards seminar. So that's just kind of how the number theory goes in relation to the first book.
Well, the one thing, you know, we were talking, the idea, you said that everybody kind of has their own way. I mean, this is how you and your son communicate, as far as the number idea goes.
Yeah, what are some other ways, other things that people should be looking for?
The way I look at it, when a spirit dies, it's up to them, their job, so to speak. And other mediums, you know, you'll hear this from mediums, that they say it's their job to communicate with their loved ones, to let them know they're doing fine. Mm-hmm. And it's your job to find out how. I mean, that's where the psychic and spiritual development helps, doing all the reading and research. But another way would be the smell of perfume, or the smoke from the pipe when you walk into a room, or the flashing of lights, or whatever. There's one thing that happened to us. One of the special numbers we had was 29. That's the number my son and I played on the roulette wheel for our time in Reno at his sister's birthday party. Well, about a month or so after this phone reading with Suzanne Northrup, my wife and I are sitting in the living room watching John Edwards, and there's a break on the show, and I look at my wife. I said, you know, it would have been a good validation if she could have told me Sean and my special number. My wife goes, yeah, that would have been really good. And I said, you don't even know what it is, do you? She goes, yes, it's a number 29. You and him played that a roulette constantly while you were there. Not more than 5 or 6 seconds passed by, and we've got a giant TV screen in our living room. And there was some ad on TV we've never seen before with a giant 29 that filled the screen with the 95 cents. And if you add 9 and 5 together, that's 14. But there's a giant 29 on my screen looking at me, not more than 6 seconds after we were talking about it. I looked over at my wife and said, did you see that? And she goes, yeah, we're both rubbed our skin. And I go, well, hi, son. I'm glad you're listening to the conversation. You know, thanks for letting me know you're around.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was the way. The smell of, like, people, the smell of perfume in the middle of a wheat field. You know, I mean, things like that. You have to pay attention to what's going on. A lot of people have these wow moments. Something happens and they go, oh, wow, that was different.
Uh-huh.
Now, that might be your loved ones trying to contact you, trying to warn you about something or anything. But a lot of people, they recognize it for a second, then they move on. I myself, when things happen, I recognize it, I document, I write down stuff, then I have notes and things like that to go back later on and look at.
Well, you're doing it the right way. I know I do it half that way, because I think that's what makes a person who's into studying the paranormal or studying things otherworldly, that's what makes them different from other people, is just that. Is that I
we
shouldn't
do
say
tend
I
to pay more attention.
Yeah, I don't want to say, right, well, normal, straight people, man, you know, not like that, like normal, you know, like people who aren't into this, they may have something very strange happen to them in a situation, and then they just acknowledge it and move on and go, that was just weird, it was probably this, and they move on.
Yeah, right, right, and forget about it. And they're wasting that little valuable message that their loved one may have been giving them.
Yeah, it very well could be that, whereas, like I said, people who do study this stuff like we do stop and go, hey, now wait a minute, let's think about this. What could this be? What could be happening?
Right, and we talk about it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Or write about it. But now, and the thing is, people have so much more now that they can do with it. If you don't want to write it in a log, blog it.
Yeah, blog it. You got the computer.
You can
it. Oh, yeah.
You can jot it down, email it to yourself. You can put it in a blog. You can make an audio blog. You can
For God's sakes, I've done this before myself with my digital recorder. If you don't feel like writing, because I have horrible penmanship, first of all. Sometimes I just don't want to sit down and type stuff out. Take a recording device, like your little. I have a couple digital recorders we use for the thing.
Digital.
I dictate notes like that. Right, and that's
like
that too.
And you can pull that in the computer, leave it on your hard drive, and if you ever need to refer to it, or if you happen to be doing something and you need to hear that again, it just might pop up on your computer. There's so many things that that can be done, and I love the documentation angle. I really, really like that.
But the biggest thing is awareness. Just like if you take karate classes, judo classes, whatever. My one son used to do that, my Sean's little brother, and I used to attend those with him at various times, and the one thing they teach you is awareness. When you're walking down the street, awareness of what's going on around you, ahead of you, above you, and stuff like that. The same thing applies in the spiritual sense. Awareness. Pay attention of your senses, your feelings, and just things like that. It can really help you out and help, you know, find things if that's what you're searching for.
That's one thing I always preach to people, too, is awareness. The physical plane here, because it's, you know, it does save you a lot of problems, I think.
So, yeah,
you
know what's going it's on not only for you. Safety, it's also for learning about what's around you,
yeah,
paying
exactly.
attention to everything.
Exactly.
You really, that's universal stuff. I want to recap real quick. You are an air traffic controller.
I was an air traffic controller. Last month, I got my wake-up call about my health.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up having a heart attack, almost died two times.
Oh, my God.
My diabetes came back in full, so I lost my medical clearance to be an air traffic controller.
Oh, I see.
And it's been about a month and a half right now. It's going to take some time to get that back if I can. And then if I do get my medical certificate back, I'm not sure if I'm going to continue with air traffic. I've had over 30 years of that. It just might be time now to move ahead and concentrate on the seminar that I put together.
Well, kudos to you on that career choice, because I have heard nothing but people. I mean, as far as that profession goes, it's a very stressful career to have, from what I understand.
Oh, definitely. And the stress from that, besides my diabetes, caused what happened last month. But I'd like to give this quick story in there what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
I was on the freeway. It took me 4.5 hours in a snowstorm to get home, and that caused some of my stress. Didn't know it at the time, where I thought was hiatal hernia and gas stuff and all that stuff. I had the pain and the ache in the chest. I thought it was from not having to eat, because I had a colonoscopy the very next afternoon. I was late getting home, 5 hours, stuck in this traffic, stressed out, feeling all this pain, get home, tell my wife about it, go through 5 hours of the colonoscopy stuff, go to the colonoscopy, tell the doctor what happened, what I was feeling, that I had called the nurse, and they suggested I cancel his appointment and go to the emergency room.
Oh,
well, he goes ahead with my colonoscopy, and then when I wake up, I said, should I go to the emergency room? It was right next door. He said, no, just go home, call a doctor, tell him the heart problems, or tell him you want to get tests done for your heart because of what went on. So the next day on a Wednesday, now this is 2 days after what I found out was to be a heart attack, I make an appointment for the next day on Thursday, go to the doctor, they run their tests, EKG, and said, hey, you had a heart attack on Monday. You know, you could have died from that. Well, they admit me to the hospital right away. And I was told that I'm just going to be in there for the night. The doctor will probably send you home the next day, you know, to run tests, since it's been several days after your heart attack. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you feel anything. Well, during the night, I felt a small ache, and then an hour later, another one with a little fingers on it. So I told that to the nurse, and because of that, the doctors performed a thing on my heart, ultrasound.
Okay.
Then they did this dye test. Well, during this dye test where they inject the dye into your heart, when I woke up from that, he told me, if I had sent you home, Mr. Spaulding, you'd be dead. He says, look at your heart on this monitor. He says, we've scheduled an emergency surgery to save your life in 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
He says, we'll probably do a minimum of a quadruple bypass surgery.
Whoa.
Now, from Monday until I was sitting in the hospital that night on Thursday, I had not received any signs from my family, my son, or anything. And I was sitting there questioning, going, hey, guys, where's everybody at? You know, here I am fighting for my life type, or not really knowing it at the time. I says, a nice sign would be nice. Well, when I checked in at the group health hospital and found out that I had a heart attack, they admitted me to one, or they sent me to one hospital right next door to the emergency room. That hospital decided if stuff was going to have to be done with my heart, it's going to take place at another hospital that's more equipped. So they transferred me. It was a bad night. I told my wife, hey, just go home from the very first hospital, the emergency room. I says, come and see me the next day. I said, you've never been there. You don't know the way. You can get a map. Find your way there.
Yeah.
Well, when she drives up, on my license plate, the previous summer, I had special license plate bracket holders made up. The name of my book was on the bottom, My Search for the Afterlife, and Sean 39 Corner on the top. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife drives up to this hospital. We've never been there. A young girl from the valet service comes out to park her car. She walks away from my wife at the, you know, by the door and walks to the front of the car, stands there, bends down for a couple seconds, and then walks back. And my wife's looking at her, wondering, what the heck's going on? The girl opens the door, and she says, do you know the author of this book? And my wife looks at her. She goes, yeah, that's my husband. He had a heart attack, and he's in the hospital here, and we're trying to find out what's going on. She said, well, my mother just gave me a copy of that book, and I've almost finished reading it, and it has really helped me with the loss of my friend in dealing with that. You tell your husband that I'm praying for him.
Oh, wow.
My wife looks at her and goes, okay. And I'm sitting there. She goes, walking in. I says, good morning. How's it going? She goes, you're not going to believe this. And as soon as I hear that, I go, bingo. I knew whatever I was going to face that day, which was open heart surgery, and I didn't know it.
That's a great sign.
I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. That's my message. That's my sign for my son.
That's a great sign
to get, too.
Awesome.
That's a great thing. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
We are out of time. But I do want to remind everybody, www.mysearchfortheafterlife, all run together, no spaces, www.mysearchfortheafterlife.com.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis.
Thank you.
What a fast half hour.
I know.
It goes real quick when you're telling this story.
You're enchanting. Thank you.
We'd love to have you back
on. Oh, thank you for having me. Have me back on whenever you want, whenever
absolutely.
You want to talk.
Stay on the line. Well, thank you. Stay on the line for 1 second, though, okay, Dennis? Don't leave just yet.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Right. We're going to take a quick break and get Bro Perkins and John Topp on the line to talk to us about. We're going to be talking about ITC. We haven't done this in a while.
ITC, one of our favorites.
Yeah, don't
forget all of our this music on the break.
Yeah, yeah.
All independent music. Listen to independent music. Dig it.
We'll be right back.